Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our 59th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. My co-hosts today are...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me at IamKessler on Twitter.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at McGeek14.
Chris, that's
and,
you.
Sorry. I always forget this part. Thanks for everyone for listening and joining us this afternoon. Got an early special edition this afternoon for a special guest. And thanks for listening. Thanks for living feedback. Thanks for the blog comments and everything. We really appreciate that.
And we are really excited about the guest broadcasting live from Disney World.
My computer just froze for a minute. What just happened?
Mute your microphone, Keegan.
Okay. Live from Disney World, we have Felix Giacomino, who is the Director of Technology for St. Stephen's Episcopal Day School in Miami, Florida. He is also the coordinator for this year's Miami Device Conference taking place in November. So thanks, Felix, for coming on with us today.
My pleasure. Greetings from Walt Disney World, Epcot Center in the Mexican Pavilion over here.
So we can kind of say you're calling in from Mexico today.
Yes, absolutely. And if you give me a second, I could call you from Norway, Germany, Japan, you name it.
We could travel around the globe in one Edu All Stars episode.
You know what? That might not be a bad idea.
Well, Felix, the place we always like to start with our guests is just hearing a little bit about their background and how they got into education. So what's your story?
Okay. I went into education right from the start, but music was my focus, believe it or not. I've started off in musical theater, but then just went to music. And my bachelor's from the University of Miami is actually in music education with an emphasis in choral conducting. I did that right out of college for about 3.5 years in less than desirable conditions in some schools. And being fresh out of college, I wasn't so sure that education was what I wanted to do, because what was in my heart going in as an educator and going into college and coming out of it and kind of having the real world kind of smack me in the face, I turned to something else I was pretty passionate about, and that was technology. So I got my systems engineering degree. I thought I was going to be making a 10 times more than I was as an educator. But then a job offer came along where it was to be a computer teacher, and that mixed the teaching aspect, the computer aspect I was going into at a fantastic school where administration had gave us their support. Fell back in love with education, saw what the potential was, and I was back in for the long haul. Spent 8 years there as a technology teacher, and the last 7 years I've been at my current school as director of technology.
So when you were there as a teacher, you were in the classroom with students, and then now you're actually working with other teachers, correct?
Correct. Right. Yeah. So now I have a team.
What I'm getting at is, how did you know you were kind of like ready to get out of the classroom and kind of work with adults?
Well, you know, I had a lot of great ideas where I was before at my previous school, and it was a great school, but I wanted to grow, and basically what I was told was, you know, stay where you are, you know, just if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality, and I kind of saw that that's not the case when it comes to technology. You got to kind of really push forward and be ahead of the game. If you're not moving forward, you're actually moving backwards. So I heard about the position as a tech director at the school that I was at, and it actually mixed both sides, which by that I mean the technical side. So yes, I do manage the servers and the wireless and all the nitty-gritty for the school, but my heart's in on the educational side, on the ed tech side. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up at the school that I'm at now.
Cool.
Now, you also use a lot of social media connect. Can you tell us about your journey into using social media?
Twitter, it's funny because if I think there's a site that you could go to, right, and you can see like what your first tweet was or your first few tweets, and you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? I didn't even use a hashtag. Like my first tweet is like, I'm at FETC. That's it. No hashtag, no nothing. And it actually was pretty dormant, the account, for a couple of years, and because I didn't quite get it. But it wasn't until I want to say a couple years after that, maybe 2011, where I really started to see the potential, and I started to see that this isn't just a place where you get to share how often you're having a latte or anything else, and I started seeing educators sharing what's working for them, and that's where I knew that there was something more to it than what a lot of people were using it for. Even Facebook, I was kind of late on that, but then saw the potential again. You know, I say it all the time whenever I present and I talk about social media and people who are on the fence about it all, and I said, listen, only good teachers tweet. You know, and then people kind of stop and they're like, well, wait, are you saying I'm not a good teacher if I do it? I said, well, no, I'm not saying all good teachers tweet. I'm saying only good teachers tweet. What I mean to say by that is you're not going to find a disgruntled teacher tweeting away about the horrors of teaching or anything like that. Or people right. don't hashtag EdTech and say, gosh, this really sucks. People only, you know, the teachers who are out there and care enough to go onto Twitter and to hashtag stuff, it's going to be to share. It's going to be to share their successes. And if they share their failures, it's for a good reason. It's for the rest of us to learn from them. So it's always with a positive attitude, I feel. So ever since then, that's when I really dove in with both feet.
So, Felix, you kind of mentioned you traveling and presenting, and you actually travel across the whole country doing different presentations and attending conferences. I know that I met you at iPadPalooza in Austin, Texas, about a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, have you always been a natural stand-up in front of others and present kind of person, or was that something you grew into, or how did that happen?
Well, rewind back to the beginning of my education, college, which was musical theater. So, yes, theater was there, and I always did have a liking of getting in front of people and kind of sharing. But the reason I left musical theater is because I was always sharing somebody else's ideas, or I had to perform something that was pre-written. But then after a little while at my previous school, somebody said, hey, why don't you do a presentation at such and such conference? And I said, oh, okay. And I got a taste of that. I was like, wow, now I'm in front of people. I still get to express and I still get to say stuff, but what I want to say, stuff specific to me. And I'm not a very artistic person, at least I don't consider myself to be, so it's not like I would have been comfortable writing plays or musicals or anything like that. This was like, oh, wait, I could get in front of people, share what's working. I kind of like this, and it became something I've really gotten to like, and that's just why I kind of put in to present every now and then. And from that, you get professional development opportunities, which just allows me to meet more people and kind of share what's worked, what hasn't, and go on and on and on, and just and watch teachers who are on a very similar journey, but maybe a couple steps back, and you get to share that with them.
That's cool. When did you decide to put Miami Device together? And for those of you that don't know what Miami Device is, I'd like you to just kind of talk about what it is. There you go, right there. Got the business card and everything with the cool colors from the 80s. Sweet.
Scan. Okay. There you go. Okay, so Miami Device, I'm glad you asked that question. So from having presented quite a bit, when I got to my new school, I knew that professional development was as important as it is. I just knew it. So one of the first decisions I made as technology director at St. Stephen's is I said, I want every single teacher at this school to go to FETC over the next 3 years. So we'll take one third of our teachers to FETC every year. And that went very well. People came back excited, great ideas. We just saw kind of people start to really understand the direction that we were going in ed tech. So this is my seventh year there. So that was the first 3 years. Year four, we were going to ISTE. Year five is probably when we went to Mobile Learning Conference over with Tony Vincent. And we just went from, wow, this is so cool, and these what great ideas. And it started becoming, you know what? The presentation was pretty good, but they didn't say anything that we're not already doing. Or they presented on something that we've been doing for a couple years now. So we got to the point where we felt like going to these conferences weren't as wasn't feeding us as much, because we were kind of at that edge and doing stuff. And I said, well, where do you go from here? When you're at the point where you feel like going to these conferences aren't as, you're not getting as what you used to out of them, what do you do? I said, well, why don't we have our own? Why don't we have our own conference, invite all those great speakers that we've seen and heard of, the ones that you come back and say, okay, that one I really liked, and then we just bring them down to Miami and have our own conference. I have the best administration in the world, and I'm not just saying that. I truly do have an admin that is 1,000% behind me, and she's just great. Not only me, but anybody else who has a real desire to grow professionally. So professional development is just put right up at the forefront, and I got the green light and said, go for it, and been planning ever since.
That's awesome.
So where can people go to find out more information about it? Who are some people you're going to have there? What are some plans that you have? Now, I asked this already knowing the answers, but I'm telling you, I have not been as excited about a conference as I am Miami Device. So tell our listeners a little bit how they can find more information and what kind of stuff you have planned.
Okay, so if you're watching this podcast or this, okay, I mean, you could just keep on staring at the four of us, right, or back and forth. Just go ahead and open up a new tab and go to miamidevice.org, miamidevice.org, and there, I think it's the second slide that comes up. You're going to see our keynote speakers, Tony Vincent and Kevin Honeycutt, along with a bunch of our featured speakers, one of them being none other than Tech Ninja Todd himself. So yes, that's what I mean by, you know, getting just the best of the best and the awesomest people that we could find to come down and make that possible. So miamidevice.org. Now, let me take this opportunity to plug one more thing. Today is August 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm. Or third
already. Wow. Okay. So we have a time change, but not a date change. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So up until August 17th, so that gives you quite a few days. Gives you a couple weeks. You can register to win your registration and one night's hotel at the beautiful Sonesta right across the school. And all you have to do is answer just a few questions about yourself, a little bit about the school you're at, your administration, and then how you plan on taking the experience at Miami Device and having students benefit from what you learn. And you just upload a link to your answer, be it where it may. I mean, I just want it on the cloud. I want it somewhere on Google. It could be a Google Doc. It could be – I've gotten quite a few – really cool and interesting entries. So I do state that creativity counts for quite a bit, so be creative with your answer. But we really want to see, we want to help teachers come down to this who otherwise couldn't come to it because of financial restrictions or PD budgets being cut short.
Cool. And your school just recently became one-to-one. What's that been like for you, and what's the biggest thing that you've learned from it?
Okay, well, we just finished our third year of one-to-one, and we started off with iPads. So let me see how quickly I can say this story. 3 years ago, we planned on just piloting one-to-one iPads in one grade. I believe it was fourth grade. One of my tech coordinators and I looked at each other and said, who would be the best person to bring in to get that accomplished? And by the way, at the same time, we heard a lot about project-based learning. We wanted to implement that as well. So who knows about project-based learning? Who's good with iPads? We looked at each other. We said, Tony Vincent. So Tony came in the week before school started and spent a day with the teachers and my head of school. She was so impressed with the possibilities and what could be done with iPads. She, on that Tuesday, said, I'm going to talk to my the school board on Wednesday, and on Thursday we announced that we're going one-to-one iPads that same year. So we just jumped in with one-to-one 3 years ago. It's been great, but it's really nice to have somebody like Tony come in and offer the PD. So he came in about four times that first year, three times the next year, two times last year. This year he's coming the week of Miami Device, up until Miami Device. So that's been key. But it's not just having him, of course. It's having a great team of three technology integrators that I've got back at St. Stephen's, who kind of just make sure that everything's happening in between. And we have meetings and we communicate and, well, all the four C's.
So, speaking of technology and using it, and of course, with the school, you're going to have all kinds of teachers on all different kinds of levels when it comes to technology. How did you or others at your school in administrative type positions convince those teachers about jumping on the technology train and getting with it?
You put it in their contract. You know what? I'm not kidding, actually. Our head of school, again, very forward-thinking. She knows that this is not a fad. She knows that it's not a suggestion. She knows that it's not something we should try. She knows it's something we need to embrace. We need to embrace it now, and we need to not fall behind. So she literally, when it comes to contract time, it's part of the teacher's contract that you will stay in the know when it comes to technology. You will integrate it with the best of your ability. You will reach out for help. You will continue to learn and grow. Professional development at our school is a must. It's not just something that happens in a faculty meeting somewhere every once in a while that you kind of just sit there and get through. It's something people are excited about and they want to do, but it's not an option. And you know what? That's weeded out maybe a couple teachers over the years, but for the most part, you've got good educators. They're gung-ho about it. Yeah. Carl Hooker makes fun of me because when I go to conferences, it's usually with several people, and you know, iPad Palooza last year went with a few, mobile learning in Arizona, that I took nine teachers with me, so it was a total of 10 of us from our school that went to that, and it was just a great experience. So the honest answer really is, you know, you require professionalism. And our teachers
high expected. High expectation for sure.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love that. I think that's something that is worth a conversation within a lot of districts, is making sure that your expectations of your teachers are set clear from the start. And if they don't meet them, then maybe they don't need to be at that location.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to just a situation that we were in, and we had lots of technology, but if the teacher's not required to use it, then why would you? I mean, it's work, right? It's extra work. I mean, unless you're just super believe in it, a lot of people aren't going to use that if given the choice. But whatever.
And understanding why you're using the technology. Not like there's a technology, now you have to use it, end of story. Then what they're going to do is they're going to end up right at the S of SAMR, aren't they? You're just going to be like, well, I have to use it. Well, fine. Instead of writing on the whiteboard over there, I'll use my, you know, the smart board over there, and there you go, I'm using technology, right? Then they get stuck at the S of SAMR. That's why when I just did the session that I did at EdTech Teacher Summit in Chicago, when I got to SAMR, and I talked about the charts that you see about certain apps belonging in certain levels of SAMR, and you know, you have whatever it might be, like Evernote here, and then up here you have this app, and iMovies up at the R. You got to be really careful with that, and I made that very clear. Whatever is up at the R of SAMR could be used only down at the S of SAMR. So really what it requires is for teachers to understand SAMR, what it's all about, and have them self-evaluate and know what level they're at, regardless of what app you're using or anything else.
So let's change the subjects for a second. When you're having kind of a really tough day, what do you do to like recenter yourself?
And I'm having a tough day. What do I do to recenter myself?
Well,
oh, you mean during a school day? Oh, okay. Wait a second. Let me think about that. That's a great question, because I do. It's when I'm having a tough day that I realize that I need to get up from my chair in my office and go have a visit in the classrooms and get some ideas and make sure that I never disconnect myself with what's happening there in the classroom. And this is something that I would love to spend some time talking to Todd, because now that Todd's in an administrative position, and I've heard him talk, and his keynote at Podstock was phenomenal. He talked about not losing that connection to the classroom. And that's what I try to do. I try to kind of, you know, get up, go into the class to see what's happening, get on the floor, get your hands dirty kind of thing with the kids. Cool. The children, and seeing what it is that the teachers need.
That's awesome. And now, changing gears again, what's something that you're reading right now, whether it's a book or a blog or something that you would recommend to others?
I actually started this book called Social Media Secret Sauce. I just started that, that's a little bit more on the personal side of things, and also really for Miami Device, just kind of how to kind of reach out to who you want to reach. But the one that I'm looking forward to reading, and I know that it's got to be good because I saw Wes Fryer tweet it out on the plane on the way over to EdTech Teacher Summit, and then Lisa Johnson told me about it at EdTech Teacher Summit. And I'm trying to think of the name right now. Austin, the author is Austin something, and it's about share your work, I believe. I'm on my phone, so I can't Google that right now, but
that's fine.
That is something that I'm looking forward to. I got that one that, it's called Share Your Work.
Austin Kleon.
Thank you. It's called Share Your Work, and the one that precedes that one as well. I hear that those are two excellent books, and I'm looking forward to those. If it's what I think they are, it sounds like something that I'll be purchasing for my whole team and making that kind of required reading for when we get back.
Awesome. So looking over the past year, the last 12 months, what is one thing that you're really proud of accomplishing?
One thing that, I'm sorry?
That you're really proud of accomplishing in the last year.
Proud of accomplishing in the last year. I'm proud of the team that I work with, and the fact that what we do is not centered around any one person or any one thing, and that I encourage them and they encourage me, that they constantly share with me. We're always finding something, saying, hey, check this out, check that out. So I'm really proud of being part of that team. And besides the word proud, a word that's on the other side of things is grateful. I'm very grateful for the ability to do that with that team, because of the administration at my school, including the school board and everything. and everybody there.
Thinking back to when you first got into education, knowing what you know now, do you have any advice that you would give your former self that you probably didn't know at that time?
Oh, that's a great question. Advice that I would give myself, what would I tell myself? Felix, don't lose sight of what's going on in the classroom. Don't lose sight of what's happening, and take a look at where the direction of the technology is going, but don't get stuck in where it's happening. Look at the bigger, broader picture. Listen to people like futurists such as David Thornburg or gosh, there's so many names that I've seen that are just forward thinkers. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the name of anyways, I would plug in all those forward thinkers that I've seen, that I've experienced, that it's not about this tool right here, right now, which is really cool. It's about the implications that that tool has for the future. Kevin Honeycutt and I did a session on Google Glass at Podstock, and it really, although it's on specifically on Google Glass, it's not so much about Google Glass today as it exists in the beta version that it is. It's really about the implications that this has way out in the future, when it's no longer a ridiculous $1,500, when it's no longer a dorky looking cyborgy device that just makes you look weird. Let's fast forward to when they look no different than what I'm wearing right now, and it costs $199, and they're, you know, pretty much affordable and go one-to-one.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, if I ask someone at random, what would be three words that you would hope they would describe you? Three words that you would hope someone would use to describe you.
I like to have fun. I like to enjoy myself. And I don't do what I do for the money. I don't do it for any other reason but that it is enjoyable to me. So I would say, you know, enjoyable. I hope that I'm authentic, that I'm not just talking the talk, that I really believe in what I talk about, and that when you come and visit St. Stephen's, that you see happening what we're talking about. So I guess that's enjoyable, that's authentic, and what will be the third one? Forward thinking? I don't know. I really do like to stay on top of things. It's not like, here we are, we've arrived. We're never going to arrive. It's always about the journey, right? So I guess forward thinking would be a good way to kind of describe that, the fact that, look, guys, we're moving. We're always moving. We're not aiming for a goal that, oh, we got here. Ah, here we are. Now we can just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy for whatever. And have that if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality. Just know it can always use upgrading. Okay, education 2.0, 3.0. It's gonna keep on going.
Yep.
So Felix, if you had to pick one thing that you were really passionate about right now, what would be the one thing that you're really passionate about?
Food. Sorry, I'm hungry. I am. I'm quite the foodie, so I am passionate about food.
You gotta go see the movie. You gotta go see the movie Chef, yeah. Felix.
Yeah.
Have you seen Chef yet?
No. And so many people have told me about it. I'm dying to see that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna see that very, very soon, and I'll report back. what I'm passionate about is teachers who actually quote unquote get it. Teachers who care enough to see what's out there, to ask the questions, am I meeting my students' needs? Not Am I a great teacher back in the 20th century, or am I teachers who reinvent themselves? I'm going to give a shout out to Kathy Zwiebelman. She's a veteran teacher. I know she won't mind if I use that phrase. Kathy Zwiebelman, fourth grade teacher at my school, She went to iPad Palooza this year. She just became a great grandmother. Okay, I'll say that again. She just became a great grandmother, and she's the one who just found iPad Palooza to be so exciting and so eye-opening, and she just is going back, and at the beginning of this year, she's going to hit the ground running. And when I mean running, I mean she can literally run. She's a very young great-grandmother. she rides bike, and she's amazing. And it's teachers like that. So age absolutely has no positive correlation whatsoever with ability, with forward-thinking, or anything like that. So my passion really does lie in teachers who care enough to be the professionals that they are to move forward. I mean, I don't want to go to a doctor who thinks that the medicine of the 1970s is good enough. It was good enough back then, so it's got to be good enough now. No, I want a doctor who's really up on top of his game, just like I want my lawyer to be, if I've had one. I don't have a lawyer. I'd never get in trouble. My financial guy, I want him to know the latest laws so I get the most return on my money. Same thing with teaching. We are professionals, so I have a passion for professional development and making sure that teachers really care enough to stay on top and look forward and do what they need to do to stay in the positions that they are.
Man, Felix, thanks for joining us this afternoon, especially on your vacation. It's a privilege to talk to you, and I do have a piece of advice before you go. You're at the starting line. You're at the starting line right there in Mexico to do the drinks around the world all the way over to England. You get one in each country. So
there you go. And then when you're done, call us back, and we'll do the second part of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
How can people connect with you, Felix?
Okay, so felixgiacomino.com is my website. When you get there, you're actually going to see a little write-up that I did a couple nights ago about my summer of PD, because I did go to iPad Palooza, I went to Podstock, and I went to the EdTech Teacher Summit and presented at all three of those. And it hopefully talks also about the bigger picture there. So felixgiacomino.com, and there, of course, you can find everything else. My email address is felix@giacomino.com, and Felix Giacomino on Twitter, @FelixGiacomino.
Great. A couple ways you can connect with us on Twitter. You can find us at EduAllStarsHQ. Website is eduallstars.com. You can also find us on iTunes and download previous episodes with all the amazing guests. Like we mentioned, a bunch of them that we've interviewed already, and I hope you do that.
Okay. And if I could just say one last time.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I really want to encourage teachers who see Miami Device, think it's something that they want to go to, but think, now that's, you know, they'll never approve that, or that's not within PD. I want to encourage you to go ahead and go to miamidevice.org, go up to registration, and fill out the win a trip to Miami Device, because, again, registration is $575. The hotel is $175. So, I mean, we're talking a pretty good scholarship, if you will, because we want not just teachers fortunate enough to be able to have the PD budget on their side. We want all sorts of teachers. We want every teacher to come and not have something as silly as money to get in the way of that.
All right, awesome. Now, for those of you who are listening and watching, make sure that you join us next Tuesday, August 12th, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time when we talk with Jed Dearbury. And then Sunday, August 17th, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time when we chat with Eston Talavera.
Thank you again, Felix, for coming on with us. I am so excited to get to chat with you on here and get to have you on. And I hope
this is cool.
Miami Device. And thank you for doing this from Disney World for us. So,
yeah, very cool. Hey, Mickey. Yeah, Todd says hi. Okay, yeah, Mickey says hi back.
Thanks. I'll see you in the comments. Okay. But thanks again, Felix, and we hope you have a great evening.
And from Mexico, ole.
Hola. Adios.
Adios.